Welcome to episode 197 of 4th and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Ahern, Chris Malley, Jimmy Smith, and Mr. Prime in the building. I'm going to start off with a little quote. We're talking day three of the NFL draft, maybe potential targets out there. But they said Rome wasn't built in a day. It was built on day three in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. That's where you get the gems, the diamonds in the rough. Those are the guys who are the back end of the roster, but always the closest to our heart. Because those are your kind of, you know, guys that you're trying to fill in and trying to find those gems. What we're going to do tonight, obviously, with the help of the people in the chat, we're going to be throwing out our favorite guys in on day three. Some guys that we've been looking at. It's basically just talking over some of the players we kind of like, and hopefully they might fit on our roster. Some of the guys have been part of our Talk the Prospect. I've seen a couple of these guys' favorites already, but some of the guys have been on the Talk the Prospect. But overall, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Is that quote, is that John 3:16? Is that where you got that from?
It's a Gail Saunders quote.
That's a Gail Saunders original?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm excited to talk the draft. You're absolutely right in the fact that, like, getting this team turned around, filling all these holes on the roster, it's not just done in days one and two. Like, we have a lot of work to do, and you can really find some golden nuggets that are hidden in the back end of the draft, and hopefully we're going to touch on some of them tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost draft time, boys. We're about 2 weeks out, and there's a lot of talk. Everyone was talking about 6 for a while, then we're talking about 12 for a while, but we have 11 draft picks in this draft class, and we really need to get some really talented and cost-effective guys. So this can be a huge draft class. And we're talking about day three picks because not only have day three picks guys helped our team personally, but in general, just with the NFL, like we're talking about Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, David Bakhtiari, Dak Prescott, Chris Harris, and our own Jason Kelce was a day three pick. Like, this is what we're looking for. And there's a ton of talent that's going to drop into day three this year, so we got to hit on a lot of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, today, 11 days away from draft, I mean, it's getting more and more exciting. But, you know, definitely piggybacking off of what Chris just mentioned, day three picks are pretty much like golden. You know, those are the type of guys that, you know, I feel like in the past few years have been like the pretty much key factors coming into the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what decisions the Eagles decide to go ahead and make when it comes to day three. And, you know, hopefully it pays off.
Yeah. Well, what have we been talking about the last couple weeks? Every time I try to get excited, it's the fact that we're getting closer to the draft and the fact that we have so many draft picks. Well, 11 days, 11 picks. Let's go, baby. We talk about the fact that, you know, we traded back. Everybody's a little upset, but hey, we got more draft capital. We got that fourth round pick that we talked about not having. So we have a pick in every round now, multiple picks in the third. You got multiple picks in 6, 7. Getting very excited, ladies and gentlemen. And the back end is full of talent. We talked about that. So today, that's what we're going to get into. So I'm really excited. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Let's get into it, baby.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at previous drafts, right? We'll start from last year's. You know, guys that, you know, on day three who actually got on the field and played some. Jack Driscoll, Kayvon Wallace, John Hightower, Sean Bradley, Quez Watkins, Prince Tagovailoa is gone. Casey Tuhill also gone. The following year, 2019, we had Sharif Miller, Clayton Thorson, both out of here. 2018, we had Devontae Maddox, Josh Sweat, Matt Pryor, Jordan Mailata. You know, talking about guys who have made sense and been here and contributed that 2018 draft. 2017, Mac Hollins, Donald Pumphrey, Shelton Gibson, Nathan Gary, Elijah Qualls. 2016, we have Wendell Smallwood. He was the Old Navy, but he was very consistent. Big V, fifth round. Blake Countess, Jalen Mills in the seventh round. Alex McAllister, Joe Walker, And then we're going to go one more. 2015, Brian Mahalik, Randall Evans, Jacory Shepard. So, like, thinking about all those picks on day three, there haven't been a ton. I mean, there have been a couple guys that have been, you know, real solid role players. You say Big V, Wendell Smallwood, Jalen Mills. I mean, if you go back further, Jason Kelsey, he was a guy that was drafted on day three. But overall, I mean, what do you think about some of those guys that we drafted on day three?
To me, it's like all the people that you just listed off there. There was a lot more misses than there were hits. But like generally speaking, on day three, I feel like that's ultimately what you're going to get. I'm not saying that that's an excuse for Howie Roseman, because you obviously need to do better than what he's done. But ultimately, it's all about this day three. Day three is all about finding diamonds in the rough to me, and especially as you hit the sixth and seventh round, that's really where you're kind of more or less taking a gamble on a guy like a Jordan Mailata that ended up working out. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the major issues is that, yeah, it's hard as you go deeper into the draft, the percentage to hit on these guys goes down, because obviously these are not the top tier talent guys, or there's a reason why they got knocked down to the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. The issue is that we've also missed on the rounds one through three guys. I mean, if you look at the minefield that is left over of players from the last five, six draft class, it's pretty slim pickings. I mean, Nate Gary was one of like the only last guys from his draft class, and he's gone now. And it just shows you why we're at where we're at. We don't have a lot of young, cost-effective talent here right now. And that's why we're literally at ground zero right now. And we're building up. The cap situation doesn't help either, but next year it's going to be a huge help. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about with the team, with the new offense and scheme coming in. The big thing is that I think that the coaching staff is going to be better developers of players, but overall, it just shows that we really haven't been able to develop these guys, and the main issue is the guys before the day three picks haven't hit as well, and that's a huge issue.
Yeah, I think it just speaks to, you know, why everyone's so pissed off at Howie when you look back and, you know, you just rattled off all those names, and it's like, oh my God, you just go ahead and kill my excitement, Gail. I try to get pumped up with his later rounds, and
got to keep it real over here.
Crinkle McDinkleberry is going to be the guy we pick, you know, and it's like, so I'm just trying to stay positive. And, you know, I like what Chris said about, you know, the coaches. I think that, you know, a lot of times it's not necessarily that the pick was bad. I think the coaching wasn't able to develop the player. So I really like what he said there. I think Nick Sirianni, you know, he's going to play to people's strengths. So I agree with that sentiment. And I think it's going to bode well for some of these players. But you see some of these guys leave this team and they go excel elsewhere. And you see it year in and year out. And it's ridiculous. So I think, you know, that speaks to the drafting and the coaching. So we made a little change there. But obviously, we've been hearing all kinds of rumblings of, you know, it's all analytics. They're not listening to scouts. That's scary. Need to listen to the scouts. Need to listen to the new coaches. And hopefully we head in a different direction. Best player available.
Yeah, I mean, it's just definitely all about roster depth. I mean, let's just see what they decide to go ahead and do, how well they go ahead and, you know, fit these guys into the system. And, you know, pretty much just go from there. I mean, it's a hit or miss. I mean, I know I mentioned earlier, like, you know, we've got some good talent, but, I mean, I should have been more specific. Yes, we haven't really actually gotten that talent since Jalen Mills, Jason Kelsey. So, you know, it's just something that, you know, you got to be patient and, you know, see what happens.
Well, hopefully they listen to us and this way they won't miss.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
we've had our guys on the board and you know, Jeremy Chins and what's his name? Antonio Gibson. Guys that we are high on, but I just want to give a shout out to the people that are in the chat watching the show. Mark from Oregon, if I'm pronouncing that right. Shout out to Andrea, Kyle, Steven from El Paso. He's blown up there in the El Paso comedy
game. Yeah.
Community. Give him a shout out there and don't steal his jokes. Shout out to Mariana Claus. I don't know if that's her real name. But Pete Nathan already. Pete Nathan has been a very active person in the chat, and he's already thrown out his guy. And this is what it's all about today. Day three. Targets. We're not talking about the first round because everyone's talking about the first round. We're getting past that now because there's more to the draft than the first round.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Pete says Tamari and Terry from FSU. 6'4". He's calling him a DK Metcalf light. Interesting. I know Chris, you high on Tamarian Terry. I see him in a lot of mock drafts on the
timeline. People have been talking up Terry for a while. I watch a lot of Florida State. He's like really raw. He has a drops issue, which is a main thing. That being said, so does DK Metcalf. So maybe that's why he's DK Metcalf light, because they both have trouble catching the ball. But the thing with Tamarian Terry, he just ran a 4.4 40. He's really raw, but if he goes to the right system, like if Terry goes to like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they could make him like a Pro Bowler. But if he goes to a team that is really bad at developing players, he could have trouble. It really comes down to like how much he's going to mature when he gets to the next level. Cause right now, and he just had a knee scope surgery as well in October. I think he's worth like a late shot, but like maybe like late round guy, like a Hightower. I mean, if you compare him to Hightower, I'd take him over Hightower in a second. I'd take him over Quez in a second. His upside's crazy. He's just really raw, and there's a lot of questions surrounding him.
I agree with what Chris said. I'm a fan of Tamarian Terry, actually, and, you know, I watch Florida State myself. Coming back from that injury, big thing. Obviously, some issues with drops, as Chris just said there. But yeah, he's very raw talent, but he's kind of like that DK comparison. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're going to get, but I think he's going to excel. But yeah, Chris, you know, hit the nail on the head. It's going to depend on what system he goes in. But that's somebody I'd be worth taking a shot on if he falls maybe in the fifth round. That's somebody I like. I was looking at receivers, but obviously you saw my picks for today, who I'm going to talk about. But, you know, him, Warren Jackson were a couple guys that I really thought about. Some of those bigger bodies, guys that, you know, raw, but hey, they could really turn into something special.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, we got – if everyone's talking about drafting wide receiver first round. You know what I mean? Like, there are talented players to be had in the second round. You know, if you don't get a Devonta Smith, you don't get a Jaylen Waddle. You can get another player. I'll let Chris, you know, he's a big stan for this guy from LSU in the second round. Like, that's where you can get, talented players as well in the second round. You want to talk about your guy? I mean, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Terrace Marshall might not even make it to the second round, but I mean, if he does, if Terrace Marshall is there at 37, you know, brainer, take it. I would imagine that the Eagles have a plan that they are hoping that they can get J.C. Horn or possibly Surtain at 12. And then the dream is that a guy like Marshall or Bateman starts sliding even close to 37. Terrace Marshall's a monster. He's legit. He's kind of like DJ Chark, another LSU receiver, but he's plays a little bit faster. The only thing with Terrace is that he has a couple concentration drops, but in general, like, Terrace Marshall is a legitimate like 6'3", 215-pound receiver. He works out with one of the best wide receivers coaches, who also works out with Emmanuel Sanders, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr. He's working with the right people. And Terrace Marshall, he's like a legitimate X receiver. You can put him on the outside. Jalen Hurts can just throw to him any down, especially third down, and trust that he's going to go up there and make a play for him. I mean, you can't go wrong with LSU wide receivers, especially Terrace Marshall.
But I just wanted to give Chris an opportunity to speak and stand for his guy. But it is about the day three. And I feel like if you don't go wide receiver early, you know, there's Amari Rodgers in maybe the third round out of Clemson, a guy who can work from the slot. Evan's got a guy he wants to draft, Elijah
Moore.
Moore out of Ole Miss. Yeah. I was letting you speak on him, but obviously there's a couple guys that I'm interested at wide receiver. I'm going to throw out Amir Smith Marset out of Iowa. This guy, you know, he's got some playmaking ability. You know, the thing is, you know, some people might think he could be drafted in maybe the third round, but he does have a couple arrests on his record. He had a DUI recently, and then he had a speeding case. But, you know, that aside, the talent is, he's a flashy playmaker. I'd say he's a well-rounded guy. You know, he gives you something on special teams. And at the end of the day, when you're in the third, on day three, if he slips, right, you want a guy that can give you you know, a versatile skill set. You know what I mean? So who else has another play they want to throw out?
Well, I was just going to say Warren Jackson. I kind of like mentioned him for a brief second, but if we're talking about receivers on day three, that's a guy 6'6", you know, out of Colorado State. He doesn't have drop issues. He goes up and gets it. I like how he gets off the press from the line. That's a guy that something we've been missing at X receiver. So that'd be somebody I'd take a chance on. Some of his knocks are, you know, his explosiveness and things like that, but more of a red zone threat. I think more of what we were looking for in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So if that's somebody who falls, that would be a receiver I would definitely be interested in on day three. Rashad Bateman, I don't think he's going to be close to being there on day three.
Devon Curry. No, I said Devon Curry from Facebook says day three, I'd focus on trying to beef up that line. Injuries have killed us there the last couple of seasons. Chris, what you're saying?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I hit Mark's question. So he said any day three tight ends. Trey McKitty from Georgia, absolutely going to be a steal there. People have talked about him being like a second-round talent, but I think he's going to go a little bit later. He was matched up with Jabril Cox at the Senior Bowl, and they were battling the whole time. And Jabril Cox was the highest-rated coverage linebacker in college football last year, and he's more like a safety. And McKitty was getting open against him a lot, so that's a guy that I would love to add behind Goddard.
Interesting. I was talking about McKitty earlier, like about a couple months ago, but I was thinking he would be a potential guy that we could look at. You know, obviously it's going to be the Dallas Goddard show, but we still need cheap talent on the end.
I thought I saw someone also bring up Brevin Jordan. What's your guys' thoughts on him? And like,
he'll be a high day two pick. Yeah, he's a very good player.
Yeah, he's good. Gail, you know, I had somebody out there, a tight end for day three that I would definitely be intrigued to add. 6'3", 230-pound Tommy Tremble out of Notre Dame. I mean, I don't know how much more perfect it could get if he falls. I mean, if you get this kid in the fourth round, he pretty much played tight end two for most of his career at Notre Dame. So he would fit perfectly right behind Dallas Goedert. He comes in more of that blocking. He loves to just get contact, man. The dude, and he's not necessarily, I'm not just saying he's only a blocking tight end. The dude can actually catch the ball. Not the greatest route runner. He's not, you know, somebody fantastic, but he is a perfect tight end two behind Goddard, and I think he'd be a steal. He's just a playmaker, and I think Nick Sirianni would be able to use him in multiple situations, maybe even like a fullback type role. Just certain ways to get this kid out there and hitting people, and then you every once in a blue moon slip him the ball. So I really like the kid's grit, and I think he would fit in perfectly in Philadelphia.
I think there's a good chance he might go earlier than
for sure
expected, but Prime, who did you have?
I actually had Kenny Yeboah. He started off as a Temple tight end in 2019. Probably had one of his best career, best years in his career at Temple, but then ended up getting transferred over to Ole Miss. So, I mean, I've seen some information on him that, you know, he would be a good person to go ahead and line up with Dallas Goedert. Blocking-wise, the agility this guy has. You know, he makes plays. He's a key contributor to that offense. And then on top of that, it's just like his attitude. Like they're saying, he's like one of the first guys that's in the building, one of the last guys in the building. You know, again, that's just the type of attitude that we want to go ahead and rebuild, get into this team once again, because I just feel like we lost that. But you know, the fact that you know he's got a good career. In college, you know, we could go ahead and definitely use that because we don't know what's going to happen with Ertz. So if they go ahead and move on from Ertz, you know, eventually we're going to have to find another tight end to line up on the other side.
I mean, at the end of the day, you need a tight end on the back end that can block. So if he has that, he's got the athleticism. I think, you know, you might look at his production and that's why he's going to go where he's going to go on day three. But overall, talking about those day three tight ends, man, you know, everyone keeps on talking about Ertz in the building. Is he going to be here in the building? Is he going to be here in the building?
It's still hard to call, man. I mean, you hear so many things. You hear players that want to go ahead and keep him because, you know, you can't take nothing away from him. He's a good teammate. didn't really see that much last year. You know, saw his attitude pretty much get diminished, you know, with everything that was going on. But, hey, Ertz is still that guy. If he stays, hey, I'm going to ride with him. But, you know, if he goes, it's part of the business. I understand. We got to move on and, you know, definitely pick a tight end to go ahead and cover that position.
Interesting. Let me throw out another. Chris, do you have a guy you want to throw out?
For tight ends?
No, just overall.
Oh, absolutely. We're on. I want to throw up two wide receivers. I mean, Jalen Darden. This is a guy that I know Gale is super high on, and Ja'Marr Chase, the number one wide receiver in the draft, is super high on. They're working out with each other out in Exos, and when Ja'Marr Chase was asked who's the best player at Exos other than him, he said Jalen Darden, 100%. 132.2 yards per game this season, 26 touchdowns from the slot since 2019. That's 8 more than the next closest. I mean, Jalen Darden, like, listen, we like Greg Ward. We get attached to these players, but if you can upgrade the position, you do that. And Jalen Darden's a guy that you could have on day 3, and he could be one of the best stat receivers that we've had in years. I mean, he is a technician in the slot, and he'd be a huge addition. I mean, there's probably like 12 slot receivers I'd love to take in this draft, and all of them would immediately surpass Greg Ward. Last receiver I just want to hit on real quick, because I'm a huge fan of him. We had him on for Talk to Prospect, Sammy Watkins' cousin, Austin Watkins from UAB. He's a 6'2", 210 wide receiver, runs in the high 4.4s, like right at 4.5 range, but he's a pure X receiver, and he moves like crazy on his routes for someone his size. I think that if we decide to go for like a Devonta Smith at 12 or like Jalen Waddle, and like we don't get the X guy early, he's absolutely the guy that you look to add in the mid rounds, because Jalen, Austin Watkins is a pure X receiver. Like, there's guys like Nico Collins, but that is probably going day 2 type of guy. But there's just a lot of wide receivers, and I'm really interested to see what Coach Sirianni can do these guys. Like, there's like 25 wide receivers in this draft that would instantly start on our team, and like, not a knock on our guys, but like, it's a really talented D group.
Yeah, Jalen, and you said
good.
No, I was just going to say, Jalen Darden. I saw the graphic, so I wasn't going to, I know you guys, Chris and Gale, I've heard you guys talk about him. I'm in with you. I like him a lot. I'm surprised Chris didn't mention Racy McMath from LSU. Somebody obviously gets overlooked because all the other talent there. I really like him. I know you probably would mention him, but like you said, there's a million of these receivers in this draft. I mean, I like that TJ Vasher kid. Also, Jonathan Adams out of Arkansas State. There is some really talented X receivers that I think you could add into this offense. So, yeah, Chris, I agree with you. There were so many that got me excited. So if we miss out in the beginning, guys, there's still talented receivers to get throughout this draft.
Yeah, Jalen Darden, man, the dude's a lightning bug. I think talk about shifty, his ability to in space. I'm talking about, like, you know, if he catches you on an island, he's gonna make you miss. And then going back to Austin Watkins Jr., I think you're talking about a guy who's strong at the catch point. He's, even though like he's a potential day 3 guy, but he can go anywhere from the 4th to like the 6th round. You're looking at a guy who's, his hands, that everyone's been talking about how great his hands have been at the catch point. Is he the most gifted athletic out of the group? Probably not, but he's always going to compete. And he gets in and out of his break pretty good for his size. So if you're looking for that back end day 3 guy with size, strong hands, And he played in JUCO to start off his career. And he talked about it being like a prison out there. And that's where he got his love for the game, you know, because, you know, making it to this next level, he's going to have to take it. And he's like, it'll be easy because my mind is already like in that format already. Like, so he's a guy that we're kind of higher on day 3. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There was one that I actually took a look at, Marquez Stevenson, slot receiver. A lot of people have kind of like slept on him. They're saying that the kid has some serious speed. You know, there's a couple reporters that claim that, you know, feel that he could probably go second round. I mean, I don't know. The only thing that is kind of like the downgrade of the kid is that, you know, he suffered two major injuries earlier in his college career. So, but, you know, I mean, don't want to take nothing away from him. You know, I mean, we've seen people come back from some serious injuries and light it up. So, you know, I wouldn't sleep on this kid. You know, the agility he has is pretty serious. So, yeah, Marquez Stevenson is one that's on my board.
Yeah, he was a team captain for Houston this year. I know he did opt out.
They actually nicknamed him Speedy as well.
Speedy, talk about speed. A guy that this dude has like all world speed. And it's not like, you know, there's a lot of guys that will, you know, he ran like a 4.26 at his pro day. Mm-hmm. Anthony Schwartz from Auburn. I'm not going to say he's the most natural of wide receivers. He's not like a Devonta Smith or anything, but he's in terms of speed, lightning, quick, vertical threat. He could go early in day three. Some people were like third round, but if he does fall, if this guy, if you just want a vertical threat, this guy is hit. Like in high school, what he ran like a 10.1. He broke the record in the 100. He was over in Finland. They won the gold in 4x100 with the junior Olympics, I believe. So this dude's got real wheels. I'm not going to say he's the most, you know, he's going to be consistent at the catch point like a Devonta Smith. No, but he's a guy that if you line him up and you want him to go run fast, he will do that with ease. You know, sometimes they say track guys can't turn into football players. Sometimes that's a thing, but his speed does show up on tape. That's his catching. It's not the most consistent, but if you're looking for a guy to stretch the field, on day three, for me, it's later. But if someone drafts him early, you know, that speed sometimes can get you overdrafted. Who has another guy?
Yeah, I just want to answer this question real quick. So sure. Kelly Wilson says, do y'all not like Tylan Wallace? We love Tylan Wallace. I mean, he's a guy. Yeah, that's why. Like, we're mostly focusing on day three guys. I mean, could the injuries concern drop him down there? I mean, Tylan Wallace was a guy that people wanted in, like, the top 25 before the injury. I mean, if you look at Tylan Wallace's resume, for eligible guys, 20-plus yard receptions, he has 40. The next closest is Devontae Smith at 32, and then right behind him is Ja'Marr Chase at 28. Ja'Marr would have a lot more if he didn't opt out, but – I mean, 40 for Tylan Wallace. It's amazing. I mean, I think the reason, like, I don't hate to bring up this name again, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the reason why that pick and that prospect of him is so mind-blowing is because all these guys that we're talking about are going to go, like, 3-4 rounds after we took J.J. And obviously different draft classes, but they're wildly more talented than him. I mean, Tylan Wallace could be like a third, fourth round pick this draft. He runs circles around him. Nico Collins, Jalen Darden, like all these guys do. That's why it's mind-blowing because J-Jaw, he was thought as like a fourth, fifth round pick, and then we go and take him in the second. We can't do that anymore, and that's why we're trying to educate ourselves, get a refresher before 11 days before the draft. But yeah, absolutely. Tylan Wallace, great question. Great prospect. His draft stock's super in the air because of the injury history, but he had a nice bounce back here.
Yeah. For those who are just checking in, we are talking episode 197, talking potential day three targets for the Eagles. So we are not talking J.C. Horn, which I could talk about all day, or, you know, we could talk about those guys all day. But you know, at the end of the day, man, like there's some guys that I feel like, especially as looking at a running back group, you talk about Miles Sanders, you talk about Jordan Howard coming back, you talk about Boston Scott. You know, after that, it gets kind of shaky. A guy who, if he would have left a year before, probably his stock was at its highest. This guy's got pretty good game. from Canada.
Yeah.
Playing at Oklahoma State University. Yeah, this guy's had a phenomenal couple of years. Last year wasn't as good as the previous year, but overall, we're talking about a guy who, you know, is he going to be a tough mutter? No, but he's a guy with he's got some jets, man. He's got a lot of breaks off a lot of runs. We talk about a guy that can catch screens. I think he can be effective out of the backfield, but a guy who with a nice first step makes some guys miss. He's not, I'm not going to say he's super twitched up, but I'm like, he can, put his foot in the ground and get upfield and break off yards. But, and he also was involved in the situation with his head coach who had the QAnon shirt. And he stood up to that, like some people might. I feel like that's what a leader looks like. Someone who steps up to their coach, said that, hey, the team has problems with this. You wearing this shirt. And he's, they were going to pretty much boycott the whole thing, and that was interesting. Some NFL teams might look at it like, well, this guy might be, so this is where a guy can either go,
one way or the other, for sure,
down on the charts. But for me, that I move him up for that, those kind of things. But overall, he's got, if you look through some of it, through his tape, he's got a lot of nice runs. And he flashes, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know that this is a whole depth roster day. Like we're trying to fill in the depth. Is it safe to agree that, with the decisions that we're going to probably go ahead and make on day three, are these like going to be upgrades? Are we going to get away from the Byron Scott? Are we going to get away from the Greg Ward? Because, I just feel like we put enough time in these guys and haven't really gotten anywhere with them. Is it time to, pretty much look as this as replacements for those guys?
Yeah. I mean, this
Yeah.
I mean, this is where you look at the back end of your roster and, you'll see, some commonly look at Deshae, he says fumble though. But like when you're on day three, you're looking at strengths. So where we're drafting some of these players, we're drafting them for their strengths, their traits. And that's why some might go on day three. And that's why some of these guys will slide. You take a shot on them. We're not taking a shot on Donald Pumphrey.
He's taking a shot on Trey Sermon.
That's what I was just going to bring up, Trey Sermon.
I know, man. I was watching Trey Sermon the other night, and I was like, man, this guy, he doesn't stop. Like, I was looking at him. I was like, he's going to hurt himself.
Yeah. He does. He's got injury history. So it's, that's why, like Gail just said, though, this is why you're going to see these guys fall. It's either injury history. They've got some things, but sometimes you can find these guys, maybe they stay healthy, or maybe you find a good coach that can coach them up. And that's why we talk about certain players going to certain systems. And that's where, it'll benefit them. So yeah, if Chuba Hubbard goes to the right place, I think he's going to definitely excel. I think Trey Sermon, if he stays healthy, he could excel. There's definitely, I saw somebody else was going to talk about one, but there's definitely some running backs I like out there.
Yeah.
Talking to Prime's comment, just saying that, like, the way that, some of these guys will be only looked at as a third down running back. This guy right here, Amandre Stevenson, this is another guy that I was looking at. Mm-hmm. I was talking about muscle. Is he going to be phenomenal out of the backfield catching the ball? He has that in his game. Like he's serviceable, but he's the muscle. Like it's fourth quarter and you want to wear a team out, you bring in Ramondre Stevenson, and he's my backup to having a guy like Javonte Williams, who would be that guy can do it three downs. Like he could be a two down thumper or a goal line player that they might look at, and Chuba might be a third down guy. So like when you have Javonte, that's a guy that's on the field three downs. Is Miles Sanders a thumper? I don't know.
Ramondre Stevenson, he's really one of those guys I really have liked as well. I mean, you just look at his frame, 6 foot, like between 230, 240 pounds. This dude is an absolute animal. He runs people the hell over. And I mean, if you just look at his career stats, dude's sitting there, he's never averaged in a season less than 6 yards a carry. So the dude can pound the rock. I think he would absolutely be an upgrade over Jordan Howard. I think he could replace him easily and just kind of relegate Jordan Howard to more of a depth guy in case any injuries were to happen in the running back room. But this is definitely a guy I would love, love, love to steal on day three.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks like a Derrick Henry to me. I mean, that's the type of running back we need, you know, I mean, to back up Miles Sanders, so.
Not as athletic, but no.
I'm just saying though, he's got that build. You know what I mean? We need that big guy, like you guys mentioned. We need something big. I mean, Byron Scott, you know, is not going to do it for us. Jordan Howard, you know, I'm afraid maybe after 3 plays, the guy's going to end up getting hurt, and then you know, I mean, that he's on the sideline. I'm tired of putting a lot of effort into these guys that we've already tried with, and it's not getting anywhere. So, again, that's why I mentioned, is this, you know, definitely the time to go ahead and start bringing people in so we can go ahead and find replacements for things that just haven't worked for us.
Yeah, this was the actual running back that I was referring to. I'm glad Prime brought him up, Ramondre Stevenson, a monster. And, you know, last week we talked about this. Boston Scott and Jordan Howard are your 3 and 4. That's why I talked about Javonte Williams. Gail, I know you're a huge – I know all of us love Javonte Williams. The dude, he would be a 3-down back as your RB2. That's a guy that could be an RB1. And a lot of teams run that way now, so it's not a problem. But if you miss out on him, yes, a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, he can still be your RB2. You mentioned Jordan Howard's injury history. Boston Scott's not your RB2. Let's be real here. So, yeah, I'd be all for adding someone like Ramondre Stevenson. I love that you brought him up. But yeah, that hole at RB2, I will not stop clamoring for the Eagles to get a running back. We talked about this last year, so that's what pisses me off that we're still here talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Evan, who do you got? Who's your next guy?
Well, I mean, we can go over to the defensive side of the ball if you'd like.
Well, I was going to say, if you wanted to stick with offense quick, I was just going to throw my Jimmy Morrissey, Philly kid, walk on at Pitt, started all 4 years, team captain, somebody that... You know, he's undersized, so people have some knocks on him. I think that could be your next Jason Kelce right there, somebody that could learn from him. He's got that grit. He's a leader. I really like the kid. Just wanted to throw that out before we went to defense. Sorry, Ev.
No problem at all. But yeah, just looking at the defensive side of the ball, what's the one thing we can collectively say has been a massive problem on the defensive side of the ball for years, as long as I can remember? It's the linebacker position. Exactly. And that's definitely something I want to upgrade. Obviously, it's unrealistic for my dreams to come true and land JOK in the first round. No matter how many spoons I put under my pillow or how many times I put my pajamas inside out, it's not going to happen. So a guy that I'm looking for on like day three, there's a guy that really stood out to me, is Chaz Surratt. Mm-hmm. He's a linebacker out of UNC. The guy, just to give you a little bit of background, he used to play quarterback back in high school. He was actually a pretty decent quarterback. So he's got good smarts for he's got a good football mind. He understands offensive schemes, and he's a really hard-nosed linebacker. I mean, the one thing that kind of has me like a little reservation is he's 229 pounds. To me, kind of a little undersized, but I think he's a really smart player. I think he's a good player, and as the little cherry on top, his pro comparison was Kamu Grugier-Hill. So I think it's a guy that on a day three could definitely help out the defensive side of the ball, would definitely be a step up from a guy like a Nate Gary.
I almost brought his brother up in the receivers. I don't know if he falls in day three, but Sage Surratt's good too. But yeah, mm-hmm. Dude, I love that, dude. Evan, Chaz Surratt, a little undersized, like you said, but I think he's very exciting. I was looking at some of these undersized guys because we need a nickel linebacker, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We have some of these guys that are good against the run. TJ Edwards, you know, Alex Singleton stepped it up. So we don't know what we have in Davian Taylor, but I agree 100% with you, Evan. The biggest need is a linebacker. So I know a lot of us talk about Jabril Cox. He's oh my God, that would be a steal in fourth round. I think he would really fit, you know, that hybrid role we're looking for. Tony Fields is another one I really like at that linebacker position. There's just some guys that really stick out that could fall. And I seriously, I get so excited about this, but please just don't remind me who's making these picks. Do you think?
Don't think about it.
We've talked about Georgia so much. There's a lot of talented players on Georgia, and especially on the defense. What do you think about Monty Rice? Do you think he could fall to the fourth round? And would that be somebody you guys are interested in? I thought the kid was pretty damn talented, and I've not seen too much about him. So
I've seen his name pop up here and there, and a lot of people are starting to talk more about Monty Rice. The one play that stuck out to me was when he was covering what's his name, Waddle, in space, and he kept up with him. And I know he runs around in the 4.5s. So I mean, you're talking about a well-rounded linebacker in the mid rounds that you might want to try a shot at. He could be a guy that's what are they saying, like fourth round?
Yep, around there. Maybe fifth. And when I read that, I was like, what? Am I watching some? But, I mean, there's a lot of talent in this draft, guys. I mean, that's why. Jabril Cox, Gail, you brought him up a million times throughout every show. I think, obviously, we know Chris is a fan at LSU. You know, Jabril Cox is awesome, too. So, that just goes to show you how much talent's in this draft.
I just definitely feel that linebacker position is really not going to get the attention that we push as fans.
No bad juju.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
But, you know, the only one defensive guy that I really pointed out was that I mentioned to Gil was Buddy Johnson, the linebacker from Texas A&M. 2019, he was a junior, led the team in tackles. 2020, started all 10 games, led the team. He's that pursuit-style linebacker that, you know, I mean, that pretty much – is lined up, knows how to go ahead and chase that quarterback, running back, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think this kid right here is a good standout. And I'm only – I know you guys mentioned some way more talent than him, but, again, just with the history of us paying attention to linebackers, I just – you know, best-case scenario later on in the draft, you know, this kid could be one of them.
Now, while we're talking defense, a guy who plays safety, but he said he models his game after Keanu Neal from Falcons. You know, he's solid against the run. He'll thump on some folks. Is he, you know, his ability in space might be, you know, the football IQ in space and coverage. Can it match the intensity of him against the run, coming down, taking great angles on folks? But this guy, again, like you start to look at players and you're like, he could go fourth round, but he could go, you know, later. And if I'm taking a chance on a guy later, if he slips, he's another guy that I might look at. If you start thinking future, if you like want to, could he play in the box? Like, you know, another guy I've seen mentioned in the comments, Cincinnati safety. Who's the guy? He was on Talk to Prospect. Mine just went blank. Can play single high. I think he'd be an interesting piece. Chris, do you remember Derek?
I know Soko talked to him. It was
Who you're talking about?
I don't know why. I'm sorry. I'm like stuck in my notes because in my head I'm like Jacoby Stevens, and then as soon as it's used at Cincinnati, it like threw me off. We'll get back to that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that first off, great one, Gail Gillespie there. Now Keanu Neal, great comparison there. Now a Dallas Cowboy, they've talked about moving him to linebacker now. So yeah, one of those hybrid guys. I think, you know, obviously, you know, somebody I wanted to talk about was Hamza Nasruldeen. Oh, this dude is pretty much of the same mold that you just said, you know, 6'3", 215 pounds. The dude's a box safety. Don't like him, you know, playing that too deep role, but he's somebody you can line up all over the place. He could play that nickel linebacker role we talk about, big nickel role, line up at, you know, that nickel spot against certain tight ends, running backs, certain receivers. I think this dude, he's got the upside. He's coming back from an injury, some question marks there. But I think that's why we've talked about all these guys. They have certain knocks like that, but he's somebody that could grow into a stud. And I think he would be perfect for someone like Jonathan Gannon to get his hands on and mold. I just, I would love to get him in maybe like the fifth round. I'd be excited.
I got a question for you guys. While we're on the topic of safety, I just want to know what your guys' thoughts are on Kayvon Wallace's second year. I mean, obviously, we didn't see that much. Do you think that what is your hope for him? Like, what do you think are realistic expectations for Kayvon Wallace this coming year?
I think he's going to try and come in here and compete. You're going to want to see what he has and brings to the table. I think if they feel like, you know, for me, I'm bringing another player to compete. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't see
put him on the field.
I haven't seen enough of him to be like, you know, he's the guy yet. But I feel like, you know, in theory, he could be one of those players. By the way, just I want to talk about that guy, Derek Forrest. From Cincinnati that was on one of the talk to prospects, but he's starting to get a lot of love. But ideally you want to bring in an extra guy to come in. I think when you look at that group, is it, you know, Anthony Harris brings you he's only in here for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud coming back off torn ACL. I mean, the group needs
it needs
to be infused with some talent in I could say third round, like Morig falls second. Like, there's so many
Javon Holland.
Yeah, there are so many guys in that second round that could easily come in like
Richie Grant.
There's a nice one. That's a third rounder, right?
I would love Richie Grant. I'm just saying there's a lot of talent in that second to third round, and it's going to be interesting to see which way we go in the second, because we're going to be sitting there like everyone's mind has been cornerback, wide receiver, cornerback.
I agree with Paul, man. I mean, can we all agree this time last year when we were talking draft, Kayvon Wallace was, you know, one that we were real big on, wanted to see a lot of game time from him, but we didn't get that opportunity. At the end of the day, us fans, we don't make the decisions. We don't put the players in. We were calling for his name. You know, we wanted to see it. I feel like, you know, I would like to definitely see what this kid's all about. I think he could, you know, have the potential to, you know, be that guy that we had, you know, hoped for him to be. You know, with McCloud being out, I could see that happening in the very beginning of the season. And then who knows, you know what I mean, if the kids shine. And there's a possibility they move from McCloud, you know, and keep him in there. We'll see. But it's just give us the opportunity to actually see it. That's all I'm asking.
I mean, look at the group. I mean, yeah. Does that do anything? Does it wiggle? No.
No. But I mean, just one of the reasons that I believe Kayvon Wallace didn't have enough playing time last year, and it's something that I totally can't fault the Eagles for, it's because it's kind of something that we've been asking for. We all kind of wanted to see what Jalen Mills could do at safety. I know I did. I that was something that I had been calling for a couple of years. I mean, the opportunity finally arose after Malcolm Jenkins leaves. I wanted to see what Jalen Mills could do, and so I was more comfortable at this time last year and having Jalen Mills be the bridge, so to speak, to that next safety. But I mean, that ultimately leaves us with question marks now at the safety position with Kayvon Wallace looking like the starter at the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, Jalen Mills is one of those versatile kind of guys. Obviously we got him in the seventh round.
Yeah.
You're going to be looking at guys like that. Now you saw, I mentioned Holland, and then I saw Mark brought that up. Look, he's obviously not going to be here day three. So if we're sticking with day three, somebody that, you know, is a versatile safety, that's a guy that I think we'd use as a defensive back, you know, could line up at nickel corner, can move him around because he's pretty tiny. But Ardarius Washington is such an intriguing pick for me. He's like 5'9". He's very small. But the dude
isn't 5'8".
Yeah, it's like 5'8" and like some change.
5'7".
Yeah. Yeah. It says 5'9" on his ID. He's
exactly. You know how Allen Iverson is. Yeah. Exactly. He's trying out for the NBA, adding a couple inches. But I think the kid's a ball hawk. And, you know, I'm just one of those guys, you know, growing up watching Mark McMillan. And then, of course, we got to see Darren Sproles. I just love the underdog, those tiny guys. So that'd be great to see him on the team, man.
Oh, by the way, that's Derek Forrest on Talk the Prospect. He was interviewing with SoCo on that. A good interview. Check that out on YouTube if you want to learn more about Derek. Maybe next time we'll remember his last name.
His running mate Wiggins is pretty good too there in Cincy. Yeah. So they've got pretty decent defense.
Do we have another guy you guys want to throw out? No, How about we go DJ Daniel, my friend?
Ooh. That's literally who I was going to bring up. DJ Daniel, we had on the show, and it was awesome because he impressed the hell out of me. The reason why I was really excited to talk to DJ Daniel was because I'm a huge LSU, huge Jamar Chase fan, and all season long, I'm watching Jamar Chase just drop 100 and a touchdown, 100 and a touchdown every single game. And then they're going against Georgia, and I see this dude with, like, the longest arms I've ever seen line up across Jamar Chase, and he just gets in his face. Play one, and he grabs Jamar, and he throws him out of bounds. And I'm like, okay. And then it's the first end of the first quarter. I'm like, Jamar hasn't done anything. And then it's end of halftime. I'm like, Jamar hasn't done anything. Then the game's over. And I'm like, what did Jamar do in this game? And Jamar Chase ends up with like 3 catches and 40 yards. And a lot of it was off like screens and slants and stuff. DJ Daniel locked Jamar up. And he locked up Terrace Marshall. And those are going to be two of the top wide receivers taken this year. And I was talking to DJ, and he was at community college, humble beginnings, and then he goes to Georgia, and some injuries have this kid who was in a military school start against SEC competition. I haven't seen anyone manhandle Jamar Chase other than DJ Daniel. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl a week after we talked to him, and he dominates. Kadarius Toney, one of the best route runners in the draft, he got stuck by him. Austin Watkins got stuck by him. Amari Rodgers got stuck by him. And I talked to a bunch of the athletes, and they're saying DJ Daniel was like a pain because he has like this long, like freak of nature arm wingspan. It's like 81 inches. And this is what I'll say. He's kind of like Richard Sherman, where like he doesn't have that game breaking speed. He's kind of like lanky and awkward looking, but his technique is so much better than like everyone talks about Eric Stokes, and everyone talks about Tyson Campbell. Two highly regarded SEC cornerbacks that were his teammates, their techniques are nowhere near that. Like, you never see DJ like flailing around like Tyson or Stokes are, and he's like half as fast as them, but he's such a great technician that he's always in position. And that's why DJ Daniel is an absolute steal. I mean, before he got injured this year, Matt Miller was actually talking about him as a second round pick. So I think DJ is going to be like a 4th, 5th, maybe even 6th round pick. And he's going to be a steal if he gets his opportunity in the league.
Yeah, I'm hoping like 5th, 6th round, if we could bring him in, that would be nice. But sometimes, you know, players might go higher than you expected. You talk about that wingspan. His wingspan was 80 and a half, and his arms were 33 3/8. It's pretty, like 90 percentile, amongst the group.
He's got crazy measurables. I mean, he's holding up like elite wide receivers out there. And then what really made me just go in awe about this kid is when you actually had that interview with him, Chris. I highly recommend everybody go and watch that interview we did with DJ Daniel, because like the things that DJ Daniel was saying was making the hair stand up on my arms, man. He really just has, he is so laser focused, and he just knows exactly what he has to do in order to make it at the next level. He already has his mind made up that he is going to be a great NFL player. And I really think that his mindset is going to carry him in the weight room, carry him on whatever team he ends up. I think he'll be a really good player.
Yeah, the other guy other than DJ that's being slept on, a guy who had a great 2019 season and then a down 2020 season, it's Tate Galwin from UCF. I mean, every single player we've talked to has talked about the UCF defensive backfield. I mean, everyone's saying like Aaron Robinson, like that dude's really quiet, like very unassuming, but he's amazing. Richie Grant, amazing. And then Tate Galwin, everyone's talking super high of him right now, and he had the stats to back it up in 2019. So that him and DJ, like those are two guys that you could get in day 3, and they could both be like 10-year starters for your team. So two guys that I'm really interested in later in the draft.
Yeah, Tay Gowan, man, his story is incredible. He was like homeless. You know, he just had a rough upbringing. The fact that he is right in path to the NFL draft, you know, he opted out But I think, you know, his daughter had some complications, health complications. So, you know, during this whole COVID situation, he had to be there for his daughter. And now he's ready to go to the NFL draft. You know, could he be a day three target? Some people saying that he, you know, could he not get drafted? But the thing is, if you're going to get a cornerback with size, and he definitely can play man, he doesn't really have a lot of tape on him playing in zone, but he mentioned that he's like, hey man, I there's not a lot of tape out there, but I can play zone. But again, I think this draft this year is the year of the big corners, man. There's a lot of big corners.
Is he?
Dude, you know,
Izzy Mukuamu was 6'4". You could play safety too. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could, you can move from cornerback to safety too. Like, who's the Fatu Melifonwu? You know, he might go bottom
second of
the
round, second, yeah,
third. But I'm saying, like, those guys with size and length.
You know who I like at corner? Stanford cornerback. Dude, it's not, you know, we all know Chris wanted Debo. It's not Debo, but it is a Debo. Paulson Adebo, that was the corniest joke ever, is pretty fantastic. If he falls, you know, there's some knocks on him, you know, for his speed, only played 2 years. I think his recovery speed makes up for that lack of speed. He is a ball hawk. Got to work a little bit on his run game tackling, you know, just his run game support in general. But overall, I think this kid, if he falls in day three, if he's there in the fourth round, you know how I feel about adding corners to this team. Not just one, I would add two. I'd be all for Paulson Adebo, and I apologize for the joke.
Yeah, he's the guy that I feel like he might go in the third round. That's the guy that I've had targeted in the third round. But, you know, he could. Hey, if he goes slips to the fourth round, you know, that's a guy that I would love to pick up. You know, a lot of people have been talking pretty high on him as well. Trying to think of who else we haven't talked about.
Yeah,
what about Trill Williams
is a nice prospect. I just wanted to hit on some linemen. Divine Diablo is a really good one. I just want to hit on a couple linemen real quick. I mean, Patrick Jones, the second from Pitt, really nice edge rusher. He's been dealing with some injuries lately, but he had a really nice Senior Bowl, and he's got good size. Kind of reminds me of Josh Sweat a little bit, and I think he'd be a nice back-end player with upside. Malcolm Kuntz from Buffalo, 6'3", 250. Really nice motor, plays really angry. And then on the other side of the ball, I want to make sure that we shout out our guy. Gail and I just interviewed him, Chase Barrett from West Virginia. So this guy is awesome. I mean, he straight up said to us, he said, the Eagles would be smart to draft me because they dealt with the injuries and I can start at any position. And Jason Kelce is my idol, and I would love to learn from him and take his place when he goes into the sunset. I mean, Chase is like a freak of nature. He's a three-time All-American wrestler in high school. He's 6'4", 325 pounds. He's so fast. Like, it's like for his size, he can pull all over the place. He reminds me of Kelce. Huge personality, first guy in, last guy out of the building, super hard worker, natural leader, and he's actually an actor. He actually told Gail and I that he's going to be in a feature movie with some pretty A-list actors.
Wow.
He told us personally.
We can't, over that.
Yeah, we can't say that. We can't say which actor. He's not Denzel. He's a bootleg Denzel, but he's an A-list actor, I guess. Probably B-list actor, but it's gonna be an interesting movie. But yeah, Chase would be awesome to draft later in the draft. And he said, dude, I'll go in the sixth round, I don't care. He goes, I'm worth a second, third, and a sixth because I can play left tackle, I can play guard, I can play center. He's like I can make movies, I can do everything. Really good dude. And I think he'd be awesome here. Like, his personality would fit in perfect with like Lane Johnson and those guys.
Yeah, definitely a good attitude to have.
For sure. If you're talking about I'll go. One thing we didn't talk about was like edge rushers. I just want to throw out there. Adetokunbo Ogundaje from Notre Dame is somebody I like, and somebody, you know, who gets looked over because, I mean, they're two talented guys. Gregory Rousseau and Jalen Phillips are awesome at University of Miami, but the guy behind him, Quincy Roach, is someone I really like. And then, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit of definitely a guy that I think will be available day three, Jordan Smith from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, 6'6", edge rusher that would come in. Kind of reminds me of Josh Sweat a little. I think he would be fantastic. So just wanted to throw those out there quick.
A big boy, 6'6".
Oh, he's fun. Watch him, dude. He is real fun to watch. Got to work on his strength, though, and his hand work. But that's what you got in these rounds, right? Guys that need some work.
Absolutely.
Talking about trenches, trench warfare is where it's at. Says Darius Hutchison from South Carolina. You're hoping to get this guy on day three, maybe fifth round, maybe. You're talking about a guy, you know, he can play. He's played some tackle in his past, but he's played both right guard and left guard. I'm talking about he's like a weight room monster. He went from 230 pounds to 320. They had to like slow him down in the weight room because the weights he was pushing up was so dangerous that they're like, you shouldn't be doing that weight, what you're doing. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I believe he's a captain of the team. They're asking about opting out. He's like, nah, I wasn't raised that way. I'm here to lead my teammates. So he stayed in. But you're talking about a guy like, again, like if we go, you know, Sedarius Hutchison later, if we start going like, you know, wide receiver or cornerback first, second round, he's a guy later you can look at. And again, a lineman who's got that many starts in the SEC, hey, man, I'll take that. And then team him up with Stoutland. There you go. See what happens.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. What's up?
No, go ahead, Chris.
No, I said I just want to make sure I shout out my guy. He's on my former teammate, TU, Dan Archibong. I mean, Dan is overall just a really great guy, and he is a tireless worker. 6'6", 300 pounds. He plays in the middle of the defensive line, but he's athletic enough to play on the edge as well. I mean, he played tight end when we played together. I'm really rooting for the kid. I mean, not just because I grew up with him and he was my teammate, but it would be really interesting if the Eagles took a shot at him later in the draft with one of the 11 picks. I think that Dan is just like a freak of nature. I mean, he's super athletic for his size. I remember growing up when he was it was almost awkward because like he was so big and he didn't fully understand how to use like his power and his size to his advantage. And I remember after I graduated, I went back and I saw him play and he was just dominant. I mean, he was like NFL size in high school. So I'm really excited to see where he goes. And he was a single digit wear at Temple. So you knew he was one of those guys that like who earned it. I'm really excited to see where he goes and best of luck, man.
There was one more guy I wanted to touch on, more of a project type guy, I would say, later on day three, but a real big body in Adrian Ailey. He's a tackle out of Oklahoma, another 6'6 guy, 321. He's huge body, very strong player. But like I said, he has a few things that he needs to work on and polish before he would make it as a starter in the NFL. But I think he is he's got the right measurables. I think he could potentially be moved inside and just provide some more depth on the offensive line.
Hey, and he already blocked for Jalen Hurts.
Correct. Amundo.
I mean, he's got 10 starts at right tackle. Mm-hmm. And he's only got two starts at left tackle. No, actually one start at left tackle. But hey, man. Overall, I mean, you just love getting these linemen with versatility. You know, and the one guy that's not being talked about enough, Rashawn Slater. Imagine if we get Rashawn, everyone's gonna be. We've been talking about corners. We've been talking about Devonta Smith, Watt, like, and we end up with the Rashawn Slater again. But if you have linemen to have that versatility, again, we're talking day three.
I know.
Pays dividends. Pays dividends.
Yeah. Kale, I said about that a couple weeks when we made the trade for 12. I said, what if we take an offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater? Oh, my God. People were ready. Don't you dare. I was like, I didn't say I would take an offensive lineman. Jesus.
Quiddy Pay. Yeah. Now everyone's talking about Barrymore from Alabama. Like every week there's
they're a catching new up. Player
that yeah. they want to talk about to throw up there. Just keep it on. The whole idea of getting a Devonta Smith or a J.C. Horn for me. Because I feel like Surtain probably go first, maybe. But again,
probably.
We are talking day three. I know, Chris, you had another guy.
Are we talking about Jacoby Stevenson from the University of Louisiana State? Yeah, Jacoby Stevens, he's 6'1", 215 pounds. He's a guy that is – kind of a jack of all trades. He can play a little linebacker, play a little safety. He's kind of like a Malcolm Jenkins light a little bit. He's more like a box safety, and he had a really nice pro day, and that helped the stock a lot. But that being said, I still think he's going to be like a fifth round pick kind of guy, maybe sneaks into the fourth. But this is the thing. I really like Kayvon, and I want to see what the kid's got, but you can't not draft some of these guys in positions just because maybe you spent draft capital the year before, or just because you personally like the guy. I mean, I like Greg Ward. I like all these other guys, but listen, we have 11 draft picks and we just had a 4-win season. So no one's job is safe. I don't want to avoid a position just because we might like a guy. Like if Jacoby Stevens comes in and he earns the job over Kayvon Wallace, let's say he earns it over Will Harris. I don't care how much money he's making. The dude should start. That goes with any prospect. Let's say DJ Daniel comes in and he outplays like a second round corner that we get. He should start because the fans, like it, we're Eagles fans. We're educated. If we can clearly see that one guy is better than the other at a position, that guy deserves to play. That's why everyone like crazy when Fulgham got benched for Alshon, and it was all money related, had nothing to do with production. And we're sick of seeing that. So Jacoby Stevens would be a really solid guy. I mean, it's LSDBU. If you get a guy from LSU in the defensive backfield, you're probably getting a pretty good player.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a thumper. I mean, for safety, he plays like a linebacker. Like, you know, is he solid in space? You know, but again, you're talking about a guy on day three who could be definitely a special teamer. And then again, man, like I'm always about finding guys in the back on day three that can either be like a, you know, if you can play a couple positions, that'd be nice. If they turn him into a linebacker, you know, at the end of the day, man, we just need some players in here. Evan, did you have one more guy?
No, I went through all my guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're closing on an hour. I know the people listening in. Hopefully, you got some gems out there. And hopefully, if you have any gems that you want to talk about, hit us in the DMs. We'd love to talk more about them. Overall, it's not the sexiest day out of the draft. Like the first day of the draft is like the most exciting thing. I mean, to me, the back end, like every single day, like for me, I'm telling you, I take vacation days for the NFL draft. That's how crazy I am. Cause it's just, I just love it, man. So I just need to like think it through. When the first day happens, and I got to think it through. I got to sit there the second day. Like, who do we want? Who should we take? So to me, the day three is probably the most important, because this is where you get cheap talent and they fill out your back end roster. You hit on these guys. This is how you become a championship football team. Like, you get guys on day three that can
absolutely,
you know, play right away, or like compete or fill roles. And again, day three, like you see people in the chat talking about this guy might fumble, this inconsistent hands, injury prone. This is what day three is all about. Like, this is what it's not about finding players and trying to make them fit into your system. You're finding players whose skill set match your team. Like, where do they win? This is why I'm drafting you, because this skill set fits. You're a power back. We need a power back to come in and ground and pound. Like, okay, Vermontus Stevenson. Okay. We need a vertical threat just to stretch the field on day three. Or, you know, you bring in a Schwartz. But at the end of the day, man, day three is where it's at. And shout out to John. He says, day three is my favorite day in the chat.
Yeah, that's certainly where you can if you hit on day three, it's going to do wonders for your team for years to come. I mean, we ended up talking, was it 2018, the one where we ended up actually hitting on some really good pieces on day three? I mean, obviously, we are in the position that we are in now. But the point that I'm trying to get across is if you hit on day three, you're supposed to hit on days one and two. So you could really turn your football team around a lot sooner if you're hitting on the late round picks.
Day three, I feel, is where the young boys are the hungriest. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. If they come into the NFL with the attitude like what Chris mentioned about Chase, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if second, third, sixth, you know what I mean? Just pick me, let me go in. That's the attitude that I feel like a lot of these boys have that day. Like, listen, draft me and I'll do the rest. You know what I mean? That's where their attitude is at. That's the attitude they need to have, you know what I mean, coming not just into our organization, but any organization in NFL. So I think that's where, like, you know, day three also plays a key factor because that's the hungriest day for some of these guys.
Now, going back, I think it's a great draft that Evan was talking about. Avante, who's played a lot of snaps. Josh Sweat, who's finally come on. Matt Pryor has been played like Richard Pryor at sometimes. But Jordan Mailata, you're talking about a guy who has starting ability drafted in the seventh round. And I did mock him that year in the seventh round. People laughed at me. They laughed at me. But overall, I mean, Jimmy, you were going to say?
No, that you kind of just talked about. But Matt Pryor on that list, that's funny. I had him that year on my mock. I don't know how proud I am to have that. But versatility on the offensive line is why I liked him. But, yeah, Mailata, what a nice pick. But what I was just going to say was about the day three, man. It's so important, I think, not only because, you know, a lot of hungry guys, a lot of guys with chips on their shoulders, they're trying to prove something. But not every team has great talent evaluators. So this is where you find out if you've got great guys behind the scenes. You know, some people are going to fall. There's going to be guys, not even just on day three. There's going to be undrafted talent out there. You have to rely on your scouts now, Howie. Now it's great. You got analytics. You got some numbers. That's fantastic. Now let's get some guys that actually know football. Listen to them. And, dude, there's going to be guys that drop. We've mentioned a lot of them that are going to drop. I'm going to get excited. I'm sure I'm going to watch them go to other teams and be pissed off. But I'm trying to be positive. So, Howie, please, for the love of God, get this right.
Yeah, I mean, day three and after, especially undrafted guys, I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, dude, look at the Super Bowl. Like, Shaquille Barrett, monster for Tampa Bay. He's an undrafted guy. Why am I forgetting? Harrison, he's going to be a Hall of Famer probably from Pittsburgh, undrafted guy. I mean, look at the Philly special. It was undrafted Trey Burton throwing the ball. No, it was Corey Clement, undrafted rookie, tossing the ball to Trey Burton, undrafted tight end, and then throwing it to Nick Foles. And if you just look at the line and, like, the team in general, like, it's a bunch of misfits, but the guys fit together, and that's what the draft's all about. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you're drafted, what position, your accolades before or after. If you have the right culture and you guys have, like, the desire to make each other better, to lift each other up, that's what happened in 2017. We had a group of guys that didn't care about where they came from. Like, they did, but it didn't matter to them in a negative way. Like, they just came together. It didn't matter what pick they were. I mean, that's why Tom Brady's been so successful. That dude's had the ultimate chip on his shoulder. The guy that was looked over when he was at Michigan just because the shiny young guy came up in front of him, and then he's been proving people wrong for over 20 years. And that's what the Eagles got to start doing. They got to find guys that are hungry, and they want to win for themselves and win for the city. And that's what it's all about. That's what draft night's all about.
Yeah, man. Draft is almost here. Again, I just want to shout out to the group. We're definitely going to be doing a draft show. You know, it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So if you're not doing anything, if you're a draft nerd, if draft is life, then come join us. You can jump on the show, Give us your takes. I don't care if you're cooking eggs like who was it, John last year? Was frying up eggs and talking draft at the same time.
Yeah.
Wife yelling at him at the same time. We had people from London, all over the world in here, all draft heads watching the draft. Only problem was, you know, some people's internet is faster than the others. Some people get the high speed cable. Some people were getting draft picks before. And I was like, yo, the draft pick comes in, make sure you don't give it away with your face. But when Jalen Hurts was drafted,
yeah, we were all floored.
Everyone, all hell broke loose. But
well, we all brushed it off when they told us beforehand. We're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
That's what made it worse.
Yeah. So everyone, keep your composure. You know, we're definitely gonna have a fun time. But again, if you want to be a part of the show, you want to come on the show, just give us a shout, shoot us in the DMs, say I want to be part of the show. There's gonna be about 24 hours of live content to come join, come talk draft, and figure
and just
out.
Just so y'all know, he's being serious too when he says 24 hours.
Oh, seriously, we'll be up till 5 a.m. talking. Yeah,
24
we should
hours.
Just stay live, Gail. We shouldn't even just talk amongst ourselves. Let's just stay live. People will come on and talk.
Prop the camera up bedside.
Unshowered.
Get a case of Red Bull ready.
24 hours. No showers. Not even brushing the teeth. All draft
dirty
talk.
Dirty bum.
That's great.
But for me and the guys, we'll see you guys soon. And as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly.